You know, in fellowships, we hear sharing on things we've heard before or on similar topics. But isn't it true that we can never hear them enough? You guys can answer me if you want. In fellowship, we trust that what is being shared is taught is the truth of God's Word. But it's always a comfort to see it in His Word. And that should be a part of the sharing so that we can enjoy God's truth together. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I'm going to play a song at the end of the sharing that will wrap up the sharing, and I trust that it will bless you guys. But we've been doing some listening to teachings in the most recent of time on prayer. And my dear brother, Tom Woods, shared on asking, which is part one, if you would, of praying. I'm going to share on what I call part two. Hence, the title of the sharing tonight, I've titled it, Prayers Come With Answers. Mm-hmm. Prayers Come With Answers. People can pray, a lot of people can pray without expectations, and I've seen that in life, where someone will, out of the depth of their heart, pray about something, but that's all they don't think about the answers. They don't wait to hear God's answers or replies to their request. How many in this room, when you're growing up, or maybe even now, have asked your earthly father for something and then just say, oh, well, and walk away? Do we not wait for an answer, especially when it's for money? So, you see, it's a two-part thing. You ask what's on your heart, your desire, but you're waiting for an answer also. You don't call people on the phone and ask them something and then hang up. You wait for the answer, right? Well, it's very, very true and foremost, and more so when it comes to praying. We have expectations. We are waiting for God's answer. We wait on the Lord. Praying is a language not used by an unbeliever. And why? It's because they don't believe. It's a language they don't use because they don't believe, first and foremost, huh? There's an expression that I've heard from time to time, and that is, you know what? You need to talk to someone. They just listen to a situation you're involved in and go, you know what, Al, you need to talk to someone. Well, who better to talk with than our Abba Father, right? When I was a little guy, I didn't know that. So my best chance was talking to another person, and it was hit and miss, right? But not with the Father. He knows exactly what we need in any situation, under any circumstance, whether it's comfort to the heart, whether it's wisdom, whether it's direction and guidance. So, this can bring great peace to our heart, knowing that when we pray and talk to the Father, He has an answer because of our great expectation. This communication expresses our heartfelt desires, does it not? It expresses our heartfelt desires and a living communication with the Father. And our everyday question, for starters, should be, Father, what is your will for me next week? Next year? What about the very day you just woke up, right? What is your will for me for today? So, to keep an open line of communication with the Father is so vital and lubricate your heart for the Father and for one another, okay? But when it comes to praying, there is such a thing called roadblocks. And which is jazzing, I don't know if you saw me, but I was floating where I'm sitting here, because Barney, in his manifestation, covered three of the roadblocks I'm going to share with you. Worry, burden, and fear. Those are all roadblocks to praying. So to see that, we're going to look at some verses here. But I just want to say that it seems like in life, whenever we're trying to do good or receive something good, there's always a naysayer or someone who's like, God could never do that for you, or you know what, you might as well forget about it. But you know what? No. God is the God of the possible. Man is the man of the impossible. All right? Okay. So let's look at the first one, brothers and sisters, and that's worrying. And for that, would you please go to Philippians chapter 4. Some of these verses you'll be familiar with, but again, you can never read them enough. So Philippians chapter 4, and take a guess which verse we're going to. Six. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. Why would God tell us that? Well, he's got the power to straighten it out. If he created the very heavens and earth that we stand on for our enjoyment and all that is good in them, he doesn't want anything to interrupt that. So it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by what?
Prayer.
What'd you say?
Prayer.
Thank you. And supplication with what?
Thanksgiving.
My gosh, we don't say thank you enough to people here on earth. The Father, absolutely, we need to. Let your requests or your prayers or what you're asking the Father be made known unto the union leader at work, your neighbor, me. No, God. So that takes care of the roadblock called worrying, all right? You've seen it with me. These aren't my words. They're God's words. The next one I like for us to look at is burden. How many, raise your hand, how many here have had a burden? Guess what? You've got more coming. But guess who's there to help?
God
to deliver. So for burdens, let's go to Psalms, please. Psalms. And when you get to Psalms, let's go down to chapter 55. And in Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy what?
Burden.
I didn't make it up. It's in the book. Permanent. Upon the Lord, and he, God, shall sustain or take care of you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Isn't that a comfort to see things like that? That when you've got burden, there's an answer to remove that roadblock. You don't have to call in a bulldozer. You call in God, right? And then the other one I wanted to look at is a biggie, but God talks about it, and we need to know about it, and that's fear. So for that, we're still in Psalms. We want to go to Psalms chapter 34. And when you get to 34, please go to verse 4. I'm going to read this out of the NLT. Psalms 34:4 says, I prayed to the Lord. There you go, right there. If that's all the advice we needed, it's good enough. I prayed to the Lord. And he what? Answered me. He freed me from some of my fears. All of my fears. All of them. There's not a plate of stuff too big that God can't handle. Okay? Your plate will be sparkling clean if you give it to the Lord. He'll get rid of those for you so that you can move on in life, doing his will in helping one another. I don't want you to help me if you've got all these fears in your mind. You're like, what do you need help for? No. Clear your plate with the Lord. Okay? That's what we do. So, the next one I want to look at is in Luke, please. God is into clearing our plate of worry, fear, burdens, and the other roadblocks that life tends to throw at us. And we know who's trying to throw them at us, but he's been defeated. The victory God has given to us.
Amen.
Thank you. So in Luke, let's go to chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 5. And if you'll permit me, I'm going to read this out of the NLT again. And Luke 1:5 starts off by saying, when Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. Verse 7. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. Now, drop down to verse 11 in the same chapter, please. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. That's nice company. Standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear. This is not reverence. This is being afraid. That's this kind of fear. When he saw him, speaking of the angel. Verse 13. But the angel said, don't be afraid. Zechariah, God has heard your prayers. That must have meant that Zechariah asked God something, right? He wasn't looking at his age. He asked the God of possible. And what the angel said, the Lord has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will, capital W, give you a son, and you are to name him John. And then verse 14, you will have great, great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. That's a party. That's a party. And God has made that possible. Now, what I'd like to look at are answered prayers, which I'm sure we've all experienced in our lives. Answered prayers are so, so wonderful. It puts a smile on your heart, and you can even say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And usually, God's answers are much better than we think, or what we concoct in our little head. God says, nah, you're thinking too small. Boom, here you go, here you go. So for some answered prayers, the first place we're going to go to is Psalm chapter 6. Psalm 6. And the Lord is a very good listener. Because I know me, I tend to talk over people sometimes. God doesn't do that. He's a good listener. He wants to hear your heart that you share with him. And maybe that's a lesson within itself for us. We need to be good listeners too. Right? So, I said Psalm 6, 9, and as he says, the Lord has heard my plea. The Lord will answer my prayer. It doesn't say the Lord might answer my prayer depending on what it is, or the Lord has to think about it for a while. No, he says he will answer my prayer, which is a huge comfort to read, especially knowing that everyone in this room believes in God's word. And either you believe in all of it or none of it. There is no sitting on the fence. Okay? These are holy, holy words that holy men of God speak. And so what God is telling us in here is for our comfort, is for our assurance. Right? So the Lord will answer my prayer. Now let's go to Psalm chapter 65, please. And when you get there, go to verse 2. We're going to read 2 and 3. Psalm 65, verses 2 and 3. It says, for you answer our prayers. Right off the bat, first part of the verse, for you answer our prayers. All of us must come to you. And verse 3, though we are overwhelmed, and sometimes we can be, by our sins, you forgive them all. Okay? So don't let a sin be a roadblock. Because God forgives them all. But you know, you must ask him to forgive you. See? We have humble hearts, and that will take you a long, long way. Let's go to Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 21 and in verse 22. Matthew 21, 22. This is Jesus speaking, and he's always good to listen to. Matthew 21, 22 says, you can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. Okay, we have to walk with wisdom and a humble heart when we pray. When it says you can pray for anything, it's not, you know what, I want all the money in that bank across the street by tomorrow. No. But God is our what? Sufficiency. See, God knows what you need before you ask him, but we still ask him and wait for his answer. And how many times in life have we asked him for something, and for whatever reason, it's kind of like fade to and forget about it, and all of a sudden what have you, that's right, Father, thank you. Why? Because his timing is always perfect. There's many, many things I've prayed about, and I don't even anymore try to think about or give God a deadline, so to speak. But when it happens, it's always at the best possible time. See? Please go to Acts chapter 12. And verse 5. This is a record you're all familiar with, but I think it's vital that we look at it concerning answered prayers. There's a lot of answered prayers throughout God's Word. We can't possibly cover them here tonight, but that's why you're always encouraged to read the Word. To read the Word, to see this, see these things that God wants us to see. And not see, just see, but to live. Acts 12:5. It says, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church. It doesn't say Peter, therefore, was kept in church and the prison prayed. No, he was in prison and the church prayed unto God for him. What happened? If you know the record, what happened? The church prayed for Peter when he was in prison. Okay? Let's go down to verse 7 to confirm what you know in your heart. Verse 7 says, and behold, there's another angel on the spot. God just delegates to say, you have faith, you need to go see Peter. Mm-hmm. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter. Now, smote, I've read it in different places in the Bible where it can be pretty bad, like a guy's ear would cut, he smote his ear. I said, I wonder how much of a nudge the angel gave him. And it was a good nudge. He wanted his attention. The NLT says the angel struck him on the side. So he wanted Peter to, hey, let me have your attention here. I know you're asleep. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. Quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Notice, it doesn't say, as opposed to an angel coming, it doesn't say a locksmith showed up. It says, let me see your handcuffs. Click, you're free. No, an angel came. And the power that the angels, that God has given the angels, they fell off his wrist, just like that. Click, boom, he was free. So that's what happened with Peter while he was in prison. Let's go to James, please. But that prayer was answered. In James chapter 5, and in verse 16. Now, when we ask the Father, or when we pray, something that you might want to try and do, not that you're not doing this, is it's easy to pray for what we need, which is not wrong, but it's easy to do that. But I try and pray, first of all, asking the Father what His will is. But after that, I pray for people and their needs. I believe my heart, God's going to take care of me. But I want to be the first to pray for Bob Linsdale. You. And yeah. I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good practice. I think it's part of being humble. And even if I don't know the details of their situation, mm-hmm. I just click over and start speaking in tongues for you. Mm-hmm. So, I said James, right? Chapter 5, verse 16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. We can pray for each other. God is telling us right here in His Word that you may be healed of whatever it is that you need to be healed from. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what does it do? Avails much. Okay? It produces wonderful results. So when you pray, try and pray with that gusto in your heart. And Father, I know you can do this for this person. I want to pray for them because of this, this, and this. And I ask that your answer, which is always the best, set them free. Heal them. Deliver them. Help them out. And I want to close in Matthew 26, please. Matthew chapter 26. We're going to go all the way down to verse, and you know this record, but it's still a neat one. Matthew 26:53. Jesus is speaking here once again. And again, it's always good to listen to Jesus. Matthew 26:53. Thinkest thou that I, speaking, Jesus speaking, cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? For those of you who don't know, 12 legions of angels is approximately 144,000 angels. Now, we already saw two angels. One dropped the handcuffs off of Peter, and the other one letting Elizabeth know that she's going to have a baby. How much do you think 144,000 angels could do? A lot. But Jesus Christ was saying, I can pray for them and they would be here. But he was fulfilling God's will. So, those are some of God's answers to praying or talking with the Father. You see, prayer is God throwing us a lifeline, which connects us to his grace, love, mercy, and will. God is connecting us with him. We don't have to go to a priest or anyone else. We can speak directly to the Father. Jesus Christ made that available. So we need to take advantage of that. And not advantage as in, oh, I better do this. No, because you want to do this. Your heart is ready to open up to the Lord. Watch him bless each one of us in his own way that is specifically designed for you. No one else. The answer to the prayer that you're asking God for help in is going to be specifically designed for George. Not for me. Even if we have the same problem, it's still going to be curtailed to you. Because God knows every hair on your head, right? And because he does, and he has a whole Rolodex of fingerprints also, he knows everything about you. And he's going to answer you in the best way possible. Hallelujah and amen. My challenge to us, including me obviously, is while we still have breath, let's use it to talk with the Father more and more. Remember, God wants us to receive answers to our prayers and to be full of joy. Amen? I want you to enjoy this song, speaking of prayers. The title of the song is, speaking of God, he never sleeps. Enjoy this.
Do you feel that the Lord has forgotten? The Bible tells us to cast all of our cares on Him because He cares for us. My friend, this is more than a promise. It's a command. So be at rest, because today God is working in ways that you cannot see. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. Sing it.
He never
on Him.
Hearts, Father, and whatever it is we're going through. You tell us on the tribulations, Father, but you have answers awaiting each and every one of us as we ask and pray to you. So I thank you for each person's heart here tonight. And whatever they may be troubled with, that you have an answer for them and that you bring great peace and comfort to their hearts, Father, because you never leave us hanging. Just the opposite. You reach out your hand to us. So I thank you for everyone's heart here tonight. And that I trust this will give them something to think about as they pillow their heads tonight. And when they awake tomorrow, if our Lord and Savior has not returned yet, that we can go forth with a day filled with prayers and conversation with you. And it's in Jesus Christ's risen, delivering, healing, and powerful name that I pray. Amen.